Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, recording is started, and we can go ahead and get started.
Okay, thanks, Vicki.
You're welcome.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. This is Patrick Curran, chair of the JCP. We're here with a special conference call to talk about the upcoming special elections to the executive committee. We are recording this call, and we'll post the audio on jcp.org, so anyone who wasn't able to actually join the call will get a chance to listen at their leisure. We have three guests today. We have AJ Patel from Oracle's Product Management Organization, and we have the two candidates that Oracle has nominated for ratified seats on the SEEE Executive Committee. These are Bruno Souza, who is representing the Brazilian Java user group, SoJava, and John Weir, representing Goldman Sachs. For this election, we've actually got four open seats altogether. Two of them are ratified seats, that is, seats for which Oracle nominates someone, and their name goes up for election, and hopefully they are chosen during the election. The other two are open elected seats where anybody can nominate themselves. One of those additional seats is on the SEEE Executive Committee and one on the ME Executive Committee. So we've got four seats open altogether. Two of them we have nominations from Oracle. The other two, the nominations will come from the community. My next point, that the nomination process opened on Tuesday this week, April 12th, and closes on April 25th. It's a two-week nomination period. You will find information on the jcp.org homepage. There's a little blurb there talking about the election, then with a pointer to another page which gives more details. But basically, anyone who is a member of the organization can nominate themselves during this two-week period. At the end of that period, we then go into a two-week ballot that will run from April 26th to May the 9th. And again, all members of the JCP can vote in that ballot. They get to choose whether or not they wish to ratify the two candidates that Oracle has nominated. And then, assuming there's more than one candidate for each of the open elected seats, they will state their preference. So that's the process. New members then will take office on May the 10th. So that's the election process. So now how I'd like the rest of this call to go. I'm going to ask AJ, first of all, to tell us why Oracle have chosen these two candidates to fill those two ratified seats on the SEEE Executive Committee. I should point out, AJ is joining us, thank you for doing so, AJ, from vacation, so he'll probably drop off the call after he's done his piece. So after AJ explains why Oracle chose these two candidates, I'll ask Bruno and John to introduce themselves. I want them to talk about their organization and about themselves personally, to explain why they believe they are suitable candidates to fill these positions, and to tell us what they would like to achieve as members of the EC. Then we'll open it up to questions from the floor. Any of you have any questions you want to ask the candidates, you'll have the chance to do so then, and I'll probably jump in also myself with a couple of additional questions. So, having said all of that, let me pass it over to AJ and ask him to give Oracle's perspective on these elections. AJ, over to you.
Thank you, Patrick. First of all, thank you to John and Bruno for agreeing to be one of the candidates that Oracle put forth, two strong candidates, I would say, put forth for the EC committee. So thank you, John and Bruno. Let me kind of give you a little bit of context here. As myself, part of the Java Evangelist team, as well as Patrick and others, have put a lot of energy around couple of things. One is, you know, continue to build the momentum that we've had with Java now for a year in with Sun under us now. And with Java SE7 coming up this summer, you'll see quite a bit of, you know, push from Oracle to just start building a lot of momentum around Java in general. And just also wanted to confirm our commitment to the GCP as a, both a standard body as well as a process by which we can continue to drive innovation in the Java platform. So I want to first reiterate our commitment to Java and the momentum we're building and picking up as we go. And I really believe having strong leadership on the EC will help us carry over the momentum to JCP. I'd be the first to acknowledge that we've lost a little bit of the shine there. And I think even in the process of trying to convince John and others that to join the board, we had to do a little bit of selling. So I thank you guys both for joining in, and I'm hoping you guys can really help carry this momentum forward. Second is in terms of the nomination process itself. You know, I've been working with Patrick for a couple of weeks, and we had what I could say some easy choices we could have made just in terms of putting some candidates out there. But Patrick and team really said, let's really be picky about getting the right candidate in here. This is an important phase in terms of both the JCP transformation itself, in terms of adding more transparency to the process, as well as moving Java forward. I think there's a lot of change coming along with Java SE7, 8, as well as the EE cloud-related specs we want to drive. So having the right candidates was extremely important for us. So I'm pretty excited to have, you know, two strong candidates here that we can put forth to the team here. And I'm hoping you guys, you know, through the conversation with these two folks, would equally agree and would put your support behind them, because I think it's going to be important to have the community here of Java user group leads and champions really back these candidates up and make them a success with the election process. So that's an important element of us socializing our thoughts, as well as, you know, having these folks directly communicate with you so you can start to form your own opinion, agree that these are two strong candidates that Oracle's putting forward. Just a couple more points, and I won't take too long, is if you literally look at first Bruno, I mean, he's a rock star in the community as well already, so he needs no advertising or selling. Having SoJava really be part of the board really is a milestone, because they're the first user group leadership that's going to be part of the executive committee. So having them be part of this group is really reflects on one of the feedback we got early on, that we want more direct participation from the user group lead. So Bruno is going to be a good representative, representing kind of the community aspect of things, and also a reflection of how Java is expanding globally. We had Java in Brazil this year, and it also shows how we're taking Java just beyond the borders. It's kind of the emerging markets with a lot of excitement and development happening. So Bruno is going to be a good spokesperson for us, both on the EC as well as driving Java evangelism outside the four walls, you know, of the main regions we've been working on. To add with Goldman Sachs, I think one of the things we've committed early on was we wanted to get the EC committee to broaden out to really tech-savvy companies beyond kind of the vendor-centric companies that we've had typically. So a good mix of independents, open-source participation of community leaders, having kind of end-user perspectives, what we've been saying, on the EC has been important to us. And I really believe this is the case, because as I talked to a lot of the customers in the enterprise, many of them really don't understand or have lost sight of the value that JCP brings in terms of the standards and the openness that people value. So this is an opportunity for the end users, the consumers of our technology, to really affect and help us make the platform competitive, because we are competing with different frameworks, technologies out there. So having Goldman Sachs, and you'll hear directly from John, both in terms of the company as well as John's own pedigree, why he's an ideal candidate. So having Goldman Sachs represent and join kind of a growing list of customers. I mean, it's not just going to be balanced around enterprise customers, but, you know, we have Ericsson Credit Suisse already on the board, and having Goldman Sachs be part of that that elite group is excellent. So I think you'll value the customer perspective as they look to some of the challenges of keeping Java current and moving that forward is going to be important. So I would summarize by saying, really, it's really our focus is to bring diversity. We've been consistent in our position. We want to bring diversity to the mix. We want to have equal participation from the vendor community, from the end-user community, and from the individuals and the Java community at large and the developer community at large. And I think to that goal, I think we've been able to achieve that with this mix of Bruno and John to the team. And I really welcome their participation. I'm hoping we get the election done with and get them going on the real task of moving Java forward. So thank you guys for participating. I'm hoping you'll see the fruits of this election come to bear pretty quickly. And I'm looking forward to working with both the folks, as well as the developer community at large, in moving the technology forward. So I'll hand that back to you, Patrick, and maybe I'll have, you know, each of the spokesperson kind of give their views. And,
okay. Thank you, AJ. I want to make it possible for you to drop off if you wish to get back.
I'll
to
go
your
on
family.
Mute for a little bit. I'll keep walking around just so that it's not noisy.
Okay.
But
let me just ask then whether anyone has any questions for AJ right now. Please speak up. Otherwise, we'll go on to the candidate. No? Okay. All right. Thanks, AJ. And, you know, as I say, feel free to drop off whenever you need to. Okay, so now let's hear from the two candidates. Why don't we start with Bruno? So, Bruno, over to you. The floor is yours. Tell us what you have to say.
Okay, so actually I'm representing SoJava. That's the Sociedade de Usuários de Tecnologia Java. That's the Brazilian Java User Society. It's a large Brazilian Java user group. We have a few thousand, actually many thousand members, and that means that we reach and discuss Java technology with developers all over the country. So Java has been focused in, you know, it's an organization that exists since 1998. So we have been around the Java landscape for a long time. And through this time, we have worked very closely to bring Java technology into Brazil, and actually to discuss the future of Java in the country. We have not only evangelized the technology, but also we had a strong participation on the adoption of Java in Brazil, inside companies and inside the Brazilian government. So Java has been discussing the JCP with inside Brazil since since the very beginning of the process. We have evangelized the JCP. We have promoted the process inside the country. We had discussed it. Actually, SoJava was the first Java user group to join the JCP. And although SoJava didn't have a strong participation in terms of JSRs, several of our SoJava directors have participations on different JSRs. So we have directors that participate in the Java server phases, for example, and the date and time APIs and other specifications. So we do have strong participation, some participation in the JCP. We also participate heavily in standard processes in Brazil. So Java has been discussing with the Brazilian government lots of different standard issues around the usage of Java and other technologies. So Java is a strong participant in the free software movement in Brazil, and was the organization that included in that discussion the importance of open standards, that not only free software is important, but open standards is fundamental. So a lot of the Brazilian decisions around free software and standards usage together came from a discussion that SoJava started around 1999 and 2000. So we have a strong representative in the country, and our intention in terms of the JCP is to actually bring all the needs from the developers and from users of the Java technology and represents those needs into the process. We think that the JCP is the most important part of Java, that JCP is the organization that creates a level playing field where vendors and users can discuss together the future of the Java technology. And we think that end users, developers, and companies, and governments need to have a stronger participation in the process, because the process can't be driven only by vendors. So that's what we plan in terms of our contribution. We'd like to see the JCP continue to be this level playing field where everyone can participate and discuss and be part of the future of Java. And we're going to work into this direction. In terms of that's about SoJava. In terms of myself, I have been you know, I'm a Java evangelist since 1995, and I have been working especially with Java user groups. I was one of the founders of the Java user groups community and have been working with Java user groups all over the world for many years, trying to strengthen this user side of the Java technology. I was the first individual to join the JCP. Ono Klutz told me one time that I was the only person that actually paid to join the JCP. So I have been participating and following the process since the first time that individuals was able to participate. So for me, it's very exciting to be able to represent SoJava into this discussion. I really do think that JCP is the most important part of Java, and we have to make sure that it is a valid and worthwhile process, and that it's open and participative. Okay, I think that's it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Bruno. I'll hold the questions until we've given John a chance to talk to us. So, John, over to you.
Thank you very much. It's quite an honor to follow Bruno, actually, after that. And, you know, I think that the Java user group communities globally are a key success. I'm just going to talk just briefly about, you know, why Goldman Sachs within the nomination and why we would be interested in the participation. And then, you know, briefly just talk also about myself and my passion and interest for this particular space. For some of you who were at Java 1 potentially last year, we actually went to Java 1 last year and ran a booth to some extent to try and explain why Goldman Sachs is very interested in Java. I mean, we have a very long and vested relationship in the technology. We're relevantly unique among financial firms in the fact that we predominantly develop nearly all of our internal software ourselves. And we have chosen Java as our platform and have done, you know, multiple years of development and have a very strong vested interest in the success of Java as a platform. There's very little financial software that we use that's commercially available to do the size of the volumes and the transactions and the capabilities that we have and the requirements for globality and resiliency and scalability. And we really exploited, you know, particularly the Java SE platform and the J2EE platforms to really give us that advantage as an organization. Internally within Goldman Sachs, the technology division represents a very large proportion of the organization, and the developers represent nearly 3/4 of that part of that world. You know, we probably have something along the lines of, I mean, 350 million lines of code that we actually build, manage, and maintain on an ongoing basis. You know, our problems that we have here, which really is a function of our scale of business, which brings a very different perspective to the Java community. So when you look at collection classes and you realize you're holding, you know, billions of objects and you really need to be careful about how we actually make that stuff happen, we invest a lot in making that clear. We value the innovation that the Java platform as an open platform has brought to us, and the capability from the open source community to which we both, you know, contribute and absorb, to have a range of technologies that allow us to really exploit the capabilities of the platform and the innovation that's constantly being added. You know, we probably come to this from a commercial perspective, because we have, you know, a large set of relationships with lots of different vendors and with different open source companies, thinking very much along the lines of, you know, commitment to standards and agreements and interoperability, you know, keeping the cognitive load of the Java developer to be, you know, sustainable so that we can continue to innovate and the platform, while continuing to grow and develop and offer enhanced capabilities, doesn't do that at the price of being too complicated to use and become too bloated. And we want to participate in that process by bringing our perspective as a large, you know, developing organization with, you know, several thousand sort of Java developers internally, but also as a, as an integrator and an end user into that stack, so that we can actually think about how do we actually can make that better, and then help steer some of the JSRs and through the process with the view of making Java a sustainable platform for multiple years ahead. I'll just briefly talk a little bit about myself. I'm currently the CTO of the operations division within Goldman Sachs. You know, I have just over 1,000 developers who actually are constantly building our systems internally. I'm a very hands-on senior manager. You know, I still write code myself on a very regular basis. I like to seek to encourage innovation within my organization and openness to new ideas and new approaches to actually solving some of the complicated problems that we've got. The part of the world that I deal with deals very much in the sort of like the messaging, transactional volume, database processing aspects of the platform. And as I alluded to before, you know, just the sheer volume of numbers and size of the things that we deal with is often something that many other parts of the community don't really get a chance to see. But not that abnormal as Java continues to make its way into broader industry sort of like penetrations as well. I have worked for the last 22 years as a developer. I started my career in London. From my accent, I grew up in Ireland. And I've worked in sort of like software houses and multiple, you know, different financial institutions before I moved to Goldman Sachs. I've participated in a range of, you know, industry boards and bodies, FPNL.org, which was a financial products markup language space. I was one of the steering committee on both the credit derivatives working group and the architecture working groups, which really sought to pull together a standard for, you know, representation of financial products. But I also came there as a developer who had to actually realize that the schema definitions in you're using binding tools like Castor and JaxB from an organizational perspective. I also have a very strong focus on software quality. So I have a lot of participation from thinking about how my end users think about quality through fitness and some of the frameworks there, through all the relevant JUnit frameworks that we've got and TestNG, et cetera, and through exploiting things like Groovy and Spock and some of the DSL capabilities that are available as other ways of working this stuff through. I'll probably pause there just to leave us time for questions.
Okay. Thank you, John. All right. So we've heard from both the candidates. I'm certainly pleased and impressed by what I hear. I hope that the rest of you are. Let me just open it up now and see if anybody has any questions. So over to you guys.
Patrick, I have a couple of questions. This is John Rizzo from Applex Corporation.
John, go ahead.
First, thank you very much, both of you, for being here, and I'm very excited about both South Java and Goldman Sachs potentially joining the executive committee. Listening to both of you, the perspectives are fantastic and fresh, and we certainly need that to come to slide up to the table. My question for both of you is, where do you see or what do you see as the top three challenges that both the JCP and the Java community need to address in the short to medium term?
Okay,
can I
start? Okay, so I think that's the main challenge that the JCP have in the short term is of credibility. I think that the JCP has done amazing work for Java for all this time, but I think that the recent lack of activity in some areas and the recent negative discussion that happened has basically diminished the credibility of the JCP, and I think that's probably the most important challenge that JCP has. And I think for this, we're going to need more transparency. We're going to need more, the clear understanding that the JCP is still a level playing field, and that everyone that comes to participate really has all the rights that they should have to move Java forward. So I think this is, I think that with the recent activity in the JCP, some of this started to change in a good way. I think that with the evolution of Java, these things tend to get better. But I think this is the main challenge that we have right now. In terms of Java technology, I think that right now Java is a very strong technology on the server side, and I think that what we are missing strongly right now is the client side. You know, both desktop and mobile, I think, are two areas that Java is lacking behind other technologies, and especially lacking behind in terms of new usage. So I think that for Java, having a strong participation on those areas, it's an important thing. And part of this, especially on the Java micro edition side, will have to come from the JCP as a direction. So I think those are I would say my main points.
Thanks, Bruno. John?
I think, you know, I would echo Bruno's comments around the community probably as being sort of like that principal focus. I think, you know, the credibility of the JCP as a level playing field and keeping the broad Java community together is obviously one of the key things, because I believe that's fundamental to the sustainability of it as a long-term platform. And, you know, from a commercial interest perspective, to allow us to continue to realize the significant investment that we have made. I don't think that it helps us necessarily to fragment, and I think it would actually, you know, be to the ultimate detriment of the platform if that occurred. So we'd be very keen to do that. You know, we're very much a multi-vendor, multiple open source user and contributor, and we would like to ensure that the JCP continues to foster that focus on innovation that allows, you know, organizations to take the specifications that have been implemented and provide the very best of breed and compete on a level playing field to make that happen. Obviously, from an enterprise perspective, you know, I'm very focused on the integration and the interoperability and the agreement around standards. I think that has driven, you know, the platform well beyond a language into an entire ecosystem that spans from, you know, mobile devices right through until to large enterprise server backends. And continuing to do that and agree sets of standards and interoperability, I think, is one of the key things that JCP needs to continue to do. Because, as I mentioned in my comments at the beginning, I think that the cognitive load to come to the platform, we want to keep that to be relevantly constant so that it doesn't become so overwhelmingly complicated that no one actually makes it happen. That was it.
Thanks, John. Okay, anyone else have questions?
Yes, I have a couple for John. It's Martin here from the London Java Use Group. And
hi, Martin.
Sorry, John, these are very much aimed at Goldman, not yourself personally in any way, shape, or form. the first question we had from our community was that, given the fact that Credit Suisse is already representing a large financial services company, what is it that Goldman's is really bringing that's unique to the JCP from a unique perspective? Because we can't, from the outside looking in, see the difference.
Yeah, I could imagine. I think that there's clearly an aspect where, from a financial industry perspective, our two companies do stuff very similar. You know, we're competitive companies from that perspective. I think what Goldman's brings to this is that relevantly, uniquely among our peers is our internal investment in the number of applications that we have done. We haven't been a company that generally has grown through acquisition in any shape or form. And all of the systems that we have built that house and do most of our transaction processing are entirely homegrown. And I think that distinguishes potentially from, you know, companies that would integrate themselves, that really do vendor-based integration from commercial software packages. And I think that the perspective that we bring then of actually being a company that deals with that scale of problem in Java ourselves allows us to contribute very thoughtfully back to the community from that scaling perspective that actually benefits everyone, whereas from a vendor-oriented software package perspective, that intellectual property to some extent gets locked up.
Okay, sorry, just to continue on that, thanks for that answer. So I obviously come from London, and word on the street is that internally, Goldman's projects tend to actually strategically are being built on an internal language, I believe, called Sang. I don't know if you're allowed to comment on that, but it seems to me there's a bit of a position there between that and you saying that you're a very strong internal Java user.
Yeah, so there's, you know, I think again, and then this really points to one of Goldman's strengths, is that we're very focused on the right language for the right problem. Slang, I will comment on, is an internal language. It's our securities language. It's fundamentally built to deal with the complexity of a graph of complex financial objects to process, to price, and to evaluate where they are. It's a very powerful language for dealing with pricing and financial instruments in that sense. The complement to that is that the high volume client side flows and aspects that we do is very suited to the Java platform. And you know, when I made the comments, you know, well, about the code size, you know, we're really looking at a Java platform in the multiple hundreds of millions of lines of code that, you know, that we build and run each day. So I'm very happy with our commitment level to Java. And that's mostly in our processing side, in our high volume processing side, and less in our financial engineering side, which is mostly based around Slang. And I point out that, you know, the Java language is not the same as the Java platform.
Absolutely.
And you know, the platform is a significant, you know, enabler for us. You know, it has enabled hardware diversification because we were able to offload that to you know, JVM vendors to solve that problem. It has made it sort of like transparent to the desktop, to the server side. So I think internally that's true. I mean, in the same sense that Java is not our only language, we'll also have C++ and C# and a range of other aspects as well. You know, just the sheer size and of the Java community and our commitment to it really reflects just how important it is. So I didn't mean that Java was the only language that we use by any means, but no more than we will use multiple databases from multiple vendors or multiple messaging products from multiple vendors as well.
Okay, thanks very much for that answer. I have one more curveball that I've been asked to pass on through, if that's okay. There were a few concerns around the non-assertion of IP from Goldman Sachs, perhaps making it into JSRs. So there is a concern, and I don't know personally if it's a legitimate concern, but I've been asked to raise it, that, for example, some language patents from some internal tool or language from Goldman's might come into the JSR, which then creates a software patent problem for the Java ecosystem. Did that make sense?
I think I understand your sense. I think again, I mean, one of the challenges that we have always had as a company, and you know, one of the reasons that we are relevantly quiet is that we're very conscious of that, right? We don't, you know, from an IP perspective, and we have internally a group of technologists that, as we look to contribute, you know, the IP that we would like to contribute back into the community, think about how we do that, and would want to leave that in a very open and free manner, i.e. in the same way that we got a lot of the stuff in the first place. We don't want to send that in with particular writers or criteria to make that occur, and we would want the JCP to be very careful, both for ourselves and from any other organization that was contributing, to ensure that we kept that in that style.
Okay, thank you very much, and I again apologize for throwing you those curveballs. Sorry for that.
That's all right. Good. I'm glad we're having some tough questions. That's what this is all about. Anybody else want to jump in? I have a couple of questions. One for Bruno first. I'm interested to know a little more about the usage of Java within the Brazilian government. I hear that they are very big users of Java, but maybe you could say a little bit about that.
Okay, so Java has been a very strong language in the Brazilian government for many years now. The Brazilian government has traditionally looked for ways of not being tied to vendors. And it's interesting that Brazil is very well known worldwide for its adoption of open source and free software. And it's clear what's less known is that what fueled the adoption of free software in Brazil was that the previous adoption of Java. So the Brazilian government, when starting 1996, 1997 with Bank of Brazil, that's one of the largest banks in the world. It's starting trying to get away from vendor lock-in. Several of the Brazilian government agencies and companies starting to adopt Java, and as a multi-platform, not standards based, non-vendor lock-in, and actually was looking for freedom. So when the free software movement started around 1990-2000, the Brazilian government had already been using a lot of free software that was Java-based. So, you know, from application servers and IDEs and a lot of other Java technologies, it was very easy for the Brazilian government to, first of all, those projects were the first ones to show results and on the usage of free software. And the second thing was that it allowed immediately several government agencies to migrate to Linux and other free software OS because of Java. So Java was really instrumental to make the user of free software in Brazil. Interesting example, a project that I personally participated was the Brazilian income tax application that it was actually done in Java to support macOS. There was no need at that time to support Linux, but they chose Java as a multi-platform environment. And when the project came to life, the free software movement was starting, and the government repurposed this to be, we're supporting Linux now with the Java version. So this happening in a lot of different projects. And I think that the fact that the Brazilian government has been looking for freedom of choice, that's why they choose Java, and that's why they choose free software later on. And so yeah, the usage in the Brazilian government, Java is by far the most important language inside the government right now. And that's one of the things that there's a lot of, in terms of the JCP, there is a large concern on the government that, you know, the Java continues to be a standard, that Java continues to have many vendors, that Java continues to work on the promise of vendor independence.
Okay, thanks. I do have one more question I wanted to ask John, but let me just ask again. Anyone else have any questions? Anyone want to jump in? Okay, so, yeah, go ahead.
This is Aguinaldo speaking. I would like to put a question that maybe answered by both Bruno and John regarding the what Bruno mentioned of the lack of strength of ME. That is something that we have been facing and discussing within the JCP for the last year or so, and also, we know that in Brazil there is a significant development in ME space by some financial companies and also government banks that have done something interesting in in NME, including digital TV. That's our experience. Like Bruno said, one of the good players and biggest banks in the world is Banco do Brasil and Bank of Brazil. And they are playing right now with very big projects in ME with digital TV. So how do you think that we as a committee in JCP should approach to some of this industry, the financial industry, I mean, with a strategy that may help Jazz ME to get better support and to improve its participation in the market?
Thanks, Ronaldo. Who wants to tackle that one? Maybe Bruno starts, since there's a Brazilian connection there.
Okay, that's fine. So first of all, I'd like to say, you know, thanks, Ronaldo, and also thanks, Totos, for its participation to JCP. I think it's very, very important that more Brazilian companies have different participation in JCP. And, you know, in terms of Java ME, I think that, you know, what happened in the market was that with the release of the iPhone, you know, Apple changed the game in terms of mobile devices. And I think that as it's the normal way on a standard process, I think there must be technology advances in the industry and discussions in the industry, and then we can bring this back and find ways to standardize this. And I think that the fact that Java is lacking behind in terms of that technology, it's a complicated moment, because the leading you know, the new devices in terms of phones you know, don't have Java, so there's nothing that we can discuss in terms of standardization. So I think this is something that the JCP has to work with the many companies that develop Java ME and find the advances, because there are several advances around mobile Java applications. So and find those advances and start to bring them together and plan for what we need to standardize in the next step, right? And what we can do to actually bring the new devices, you know, you mentioned the digital TV. That's an excellent environment. Actually, it is an environment that Java is far ahead from many others. So I think that it's a promising environment. And also, there's ME is it's a very large technology. There's so many devices that have ME support that we have to understand where we can fit and how Java can participate on the new market, you know, the tablets and the TVs and all of that. I think that, you know, we're going to need some effort from the companies that are behind Java to make this happen.
Yeah, thanks, Bruno. John, I don't know if you have anything.
Yeah, I mean, from a commercial perspective, you know, Goldman Sachs is not a commercial bank in the sense that we have you know millions of customers, and for which, you know, developing ME devices themselves would be explicit. But when I think about the ME marketplace in general, and I think about, you know, the key things that I think that Java brings is that interoperability across the stack between the mobile devices right through, at the end of the day, the things they're talking to on the other side, and the connectivity back into the systems within, you know, within financial industries, within banks, or within any form of commerce. You know, the consistency of platform, I think, is one of the great advantages that the Java ME has. I do think that, you know, Apple was, to some extent, you know, game-changing in how it approached that, but I do think that ME is well-placed to become a much more significant platform, and I feel that it'll be that integrated interoperability across the stack that'll become one of those key facets to making that successful, because you can write it once and actually run it across multiple sections of your stack. And it also comes with that sort of like fully integrated tool set and a lot of the learning and things that we learned through the SE and the ME the EE development groups that we can bring into play. And I think the JCP's role in this is really to continue to foster that innovation in that space, and continue to sort of like realize the view of writing your software and being able to run it anywhere, and making that the delta between the SE and the ME editions to be less impactful and restrictive in what it can do.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Anybody else? Go ahead. Does someone have a question? Can you guys still hear me?
I think it was just a comment.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I had one more question for John. You mentioned ISDA.org and FPML.org. I did a little Googling yesterday, and I'm interested because it seems as if there are certain similarities between the JCP as a standards developing organization and FPML.org. You certainly talked about working groups and so on. Can you say a little more about how things work in that world and what similarities and differences there may be between that and the JCP?
Potentially more when I'm actually, if I become a member of the JCP, because the inner workings of, I think the workings of any industry-defining body, when you're coming to trying to bring a range of different perspectives together to come up with standards and how those standards evolve, you know, particularly if I have a comment on my experiences from the FPML architecture working group, you know, there are a lot of perspectives that you need to listen to and to engage in to make stuff to bring things forward, and you know the participation, you know, these work best when you have good participation from the people who really care about making this stuff happen, and keeping it very practical and real, I think, was one of the key successes, I think, in the FPML space, and actually grew to be, you know, is the industry standard for, you know, within the space and adopted by sort of like government agencies and so on today. I think like analogies are, you know, or sort of like, you know, comparatives are that, you know, it also spawned a range of sort of like supporting companies who would write, you know, tools to help, you know, choreograph, you know, the transactions across players. It took a very independent stance. It wasn't reflective of any one particular institution's perspective. It was kept practical because those of us who were writing the standard were actually living with the standard, so we liked to actually make sure that we didn't do something that we actually couldn't implement ourselves. And that kept it a very, very honest and very open. I think the participation for all of these sort of like communities is about, you know, learning to listen, learning to try and understand the perspective that someone else is bringing to it, directing, you know, look at that perspective from the lens that you bring from both your professional background and also potentially from your institutional background, and try and evolve that, you know, together rather than becoming fragmented, which is where the world was prior to us actually putting the standard in place.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, we're almost at the top of the hour. One last chance if anybody else wants to jump in with a question for our candidates. Going once. Going twice. Okay, then I'm going to thank everybody for joining, particularly AJ for making time out from his vacation, and Bruno and John for showing up and giving us some interesting and forthright answers. Thank you to those who asked the questions. And just to repeat, Martin, you just dropped me a note and asked me this. We have recorded the session, and we are going to... we're going to post the recording on jcp.org. I am thinking about perhaps running another session later in the cycle once we have nominations for the elected seats. I'm going to think about that. Timing might be a little difficult, but we do have a two-week election process, so it's possible that we could set something up for the very beginning of that two-week cycle. But I will have to talk to the people who nominate themselves and see whether we can organize that. But anyway, I think this has been great. I've certainly learned a lot and have enjoyed it. I want to say thank you to Vicky for setting it up. And with that, we'll wrap it up. Yes.
I'd very much encourage you to do that with the elected nominees.
Yeah. Okay.
This has been very, very useful. We haven't done this type of thing in the past, to my knowledge.
Yes, right. I agree. We talked in the past about virtual town halls, real town halls. This is the first time we've actually done it. And I'm pleased. I think it worked well, particularly considering we did it at short notice. I apologize for that, but there were scheduling issues. Bruno is actually traveling. John is going to be traveling next week. So yeah, let me try and set up another one for, it would be about 2 weeks' time, once the nominations for the elected seats close, and hopefully with more advance notice we can get a larger audience. So,
what I would suggest, Patrick, if you want to do this, you should announce it even before we have the nominations.
Announce it now, set the date, let people know that if they are candidates, they're going to be expected to participate, and give people a chance to organize their calendars around it. And, so I think we will. I'll set it up for early, right at the beginning of the two-week election period, which would be about 2 weeks from now. So, okay, any final comments from anyone?
You know, I'd like to thank everyone that's participated. I'm looking forward to strong participation in JCP. I think that the JCP is in fact the most important part of Java, and as much as we can keep it's a level playing field that people can actually participate and expect that their participation is worthwhile and brings Java forward, I think we can increase the importance of the JCP. So that's our goal. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruno. Last word from you, John.
Yeah, no, I think I'd echo Bruno's comments. I think we're very like-minded in our objectives for what we want the JCP. And, you know, I hope to retire someday and still be working on a Java platform that's even more, you know, successful than it currently is today. And I hope that's a very long distance in the future.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again, everybody, for participating. And thanks for the feedback. I will set up another of these calls in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.